Hallelujah. God is good. Matthew 25, and I just want to read one verse there, and then we'll go to another place. It says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Matthew 25:13. Watch therefore. In other words, be on alert, be on guard, because there's coming a day when He's coming back. Do you know Jesus is coming back? Glory to God. And it's really interesting because when He came the first time, the people that He was coming to didn't recognize Him, because He came as the Lamb. They were expecting more of the lion that would establish a kingdom on this earth, and the Jews would be at the top of the list, and all of the things that are prophesied for the lion, they wanted then, but He came as the Lamb first. But Him coming as the Lamb allowed us to be brought into His kingdom. Right? Who is us? Anybody. If you're breathing, you have a pulse, right? And you're a human being, then you're a candidate. Glory to God. That's so awesome. He's come unto us. The Bible says that He came unto His own and they didn't recognize Him. But at the same time, that opened the door for all men to receive Jesus. But we're living at a day and an hour where He's coming again. Glory to God. I know you probably heard that your whole life. And when I first got saved, way back there now. Glory. Seems like yesterday, but way back there. You know, I remember going up to my mom at the time and telling her about Jesus. And I said, "Man, He's coming soon." And she said, "You know, Bruce," she said, "they've been saying that for years." And it's true. Why? Because we found out in the Bible that the apostles said He's coming soon. But I found that today is sooner than it was yesterday. And tomorrow will be sooner than today. But according to the verse that we just read, we're supposed to watch, therefore. And that watch means be attentive, be on guard, be looking for it. Glory to God. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. How are we supposed to watch? I love this. In the King James Version, it says, "Occupy until I come." And what that means is live your lives, but live them like I'm coming. Right? How many know life happens? Right? We have to get up. We have to eat. We have to go to work. We have to provide for our families. We have to mow the lawn. All that stuff. We have to occupy. But at the center of everything needs to be Jesus. At the center of everything needs to be Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Finally, then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as received from us, how you ought to walk and to please God." This is awesome. The apostle, he was in there and he taught them, but he's writing to them again at the end of his life, and he's saying, I want to tell you again. Not just tell you, but I want to urge you. In fact, he said to Timothy, he said this to one of the churches. He said, "It's not painful for me to tell you the same thing again. It's not painful for me to tell you over and over and over and over and over and over again the same thing." Why? Because the truth is the truth is the truth is the truth is the truth. Right? How many have ever thought, I've heard that before? Maybe you're listening to. I went to a college where Kenneth Hagin was the head, and he told stories and like when he was teaching on something. Hello. When he was teaching on something, he would teach the same thing over and over and over and over again. At the end of 2 years, I could tell his stories. Right? I could tell his stories because I'd heard them so many times. But what was he doing? Just because I'd heard it in my physical ear, I hadn't heard it in my heart yet. And so what he's saying here is, listen, I'm urging you and exhorting you in the Lord that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. See, we're talking about watching because he's coming. And so our lives need to be such that we're pleasing to him. Come on, we're pleasing to him. He has a mission for each one of you. Did you know that? Did you know that each one of you are called by God to do something? You think, well, you know, am I supposed to go to Africa or what? What? No, listen, it isn't about where. It's about who. Let me say that again. Your calling isn't about where, it's about who. And the who is whoever. Whoever you're around is your calling. Come on. Yeah, absolutely. Glory to God. Look at now verse 2. It says, "For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality." Listen to this. How many know the Lord has sanctified us? The Bible says that Jesus became our sanctification. What does that mean? That we're set apart to be holy. But he has his part, but we also have our part. Right? In other words, I need to demand of myself to stand under the standards that Jesus has set. How many know your flesh doesn't want to do what the standards are all the time? Right? Anybody in here in that position? Come on. Come on. It almost blows me away sometimes. It's like, where did that thought come from? Where did that come from? Well, I'll tell you where it came from. It came from your flesh. But it's up to us to stand in the, wait a minute, I've been set apart and made holy. And so I am going to enforce that sanctification in my own life. I did a sermon years ago, a few years ago now. It was called, "Holy, Don't Go There." Right? Holy, don't go there. In other words, if we have that perception and we think about the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me and I've been sanctified unto the Lord, then I need to put myself in a position, my thoughts, holy, don't go there. My actions, holy, don't go there. I'm not going to compromise because holiness doesn't compromise. Glory to God. Aren't you glad that we are made holy as He is holy? Right? It's not holy as we deem holiness, but it's His standard of holiness. Right? And He's holy. Our God is holy. He's mighty holy. Our God is holy. He's holy. And the only way we can get to His level of holiness is through the blood of Jesus. But we've been there. We have that. My Redeemer lives. The one who purchased me back, He lives. But He said, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Now we're going to read through a list here that may not be politically correct. It may not be what you want to hear. It may not be what I want to hear. It may not be what the world wants to hear. But the list remains the same. God's not going to come down to our standard going, well, you know, it's 2021 after all. We've evolved. You know, the reality is the condition of the world is the same. Back when Jesus walked on the earth, in the different parts of the world, some of the same things that are going on right now were going on then. Same thing. But the standard is flee. Come on. Or abstain from sexual immorality. What does that mean? Abstain means don't do it. Thank you for your enthusiasm. He's coming soon, so how should we act? Right? How should we act, or how should we watch? How should we be prepared? We should take heed to what he says. Verse 4 says that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Each one. Each one. What does that mean? I'm responsible for me. I'm not responsible for you. But it's easier for me to put sanctification, my view of sanctification, on you than it is for me to hold myself. Isn't it interesting that we want mercy for ourselves and judgment for others? Come on. But God is saying, no. Look at yourself and allow yourself to be brought back under the umbrella of His Word, standing in the holiness. Why? Because this isn't something that gives you less of life. It gives you more of the true life. It's where peace, joy, love, all of those things are found, is in walking in the way that He wants you to walk. Now, compromise will draw you away from the very thing that you want. Thank you. Now watch, let's go on. Verse 5 says, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles do, who do not know God. Did you know that when you were born again, you became a different person? Right? The Bible says that you are a new creation. Old things were passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Again, I remember when I got saved many, many years ago, this outer body looked a little bit different because I was a lot younger. But I remember that I, you know, got up in the morning after I got saved and went in to shave and do what I, and I looked the same. Nothing had changed on the outside, but absolutely something had changed on the inside. Right? From before I got saved, I was living life from the outside in. In other words, I was living life by what life was dictating to me. But the moment I became born again and He gave me a new heart on the inside, His Spirit came to dwell on the inside of me. From that moment, it was time to live my life from the inside out. What a privilege that is! Because I'm not just like people who don't know God. I'm different because I know God. Is that awesome? Whew. Now, I would love to tell you that the old person doesn't poke his head up now and again. Right? But what do I need to do? You ever, I know Chuck E. Cheese used to have this all the time, that game where you got the mallet and the thing pops up and you hit it. You keep hitting that thing back down. That's what you need to do with the old man. Boom, you don't belong here. Boom, you don't belong here. Why? Because I've become born again. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Holiness doesn't go there. Love doesn't act that way. I'm talking about watching because He's coming. Listen, and that's why we're reading, and I want to read this in context of what it's saying and read the whole chapter because it's so incredible. Verse 6 says that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we forewarned you, and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in holiness. What does that mean? That means you're supposed to act holy toward your brother. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And again, it's not about me holding my brother accountable on how he deals with me. It's about me holding me accountable about how I deal with him or her. Right? And how am I doing? The standard is not how he's doing to me. The standard is how God has done to me. Right? Forgive as he's forgived. Love as he's loved. That's the standard that we're supposed to live in. Why? Because he's coming. And when he comes, I don't want to be iffy. I want to be on fire. Right? Glory to God. Watch now. Therefore, verse 8, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Yeah, but you know, sexual immorality, the standards have changed a little bit. After now, I wouldn't believe this if I didn't hear it out of my own mouth. I mean, not out of my own ears. I didn't say this, by the way, just to clarify. I was talking with a lady who had recently been divorced, and she started dating again. Christian, I'm filled with the Spirit. Would come in, hallelujah, hallelujah. God used her in many things, and she began dating again. And I, you know, asked, well, how's that going? And she started to talk about it, and then we got into the subject. I don't know how we got there, but we got there. And she said, well, I'd never marry a man that I hadn't had sex with. I'm like, what? You know, what? But that's the standard today. The standard is moved. How about this one? Well, you know, we're married in the eyes of the Lord anyway. Compromise. It's compromise. What am I saying? I'm just saying, Lord, if you're coming, I don't want to compromise my heart in any area. I'm allowing you to examine my heart because he's coming. He's coming. And listen to verse 8. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God. So if we're holding a standard up that's in the Word of God and you reject it, you're not rejecting me. You're rejecting God. Who's this true for? Me. It's mine. When I'm reading the Word of God, this is mine. I can get up here and we will do it for sure. We'll talk about all the goodnesses of God and all the rights that we have in God. Then he supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. Then by his stripes I'm healed and he's my provision and all of that. But I have to come from the other standpoint and say, he's my holiness too, and here's his standard, and I want to live within that standard. Right? There are places who have never, or for years, churches who have never uttered the word sin. Why? Because they don't want to offend anybody. I don't really care if I offend you if I'm preaching the Word of God, because it's not me who's offending you. It's your heart that's offended by what he said. And what I want to do is help you get over that so that you can be in line with him, because he's coming. Right? He's coming. Glory to God. And I don't want to reject God, but I want to give full emphasis to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Verse 9 says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Come on. To love one another. To love one another. Did you know that when you got born again, you have your capacity to love one another went up? In fact, it was transformed. Because Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another even as I have loved you. In other words, before you weren't capable of doing that, but because I'm going to the cross and because I'm going to give you a new heart, your ability to love one another is going to a completely different level. Isn't it time for Christians to be the most loving people that there are? Well, how does that play out? Well, here's how it plays out in some places. When we could go to restaurants, Christians, we got to be out of here by 11:30, because if we're out of here by 11:30, we can get to the restaurant by 11:45. And you know, the Baptists don't get out till 12, and we can beat them in line. And then when we get to the restaurant, you know, that waitress is just a heathen anyway. So we're she's below us anyway. And so we'll deal with her. And she hasn't brought my tea at the right time. And she messed up my order. And so I'm not going to leave her a tip. I'm going to leave her a track. Do me a favor. Do God a favor. Don't tell her you're a Christian. Don't leave the tract. And by all means, don't tell her what church you just came from. Right? Why? Because we ought to live differently. You know what? And I'm going to tell you this story because it's so interesting. My wife's amazing. Thank you for your enthusiasm. But she's amazing. This was years ago. We were at a meeting down in the Portland area. And we just got out of this huge meeting. But it was about this time of year, so there was an ice storm. Have you ever been in an ice storm? We don't get that many up here. But an ice storm is where the weather comes in and the roads become a sheet of ice. The first one that I really remember, I was in Tulsa. And in Oklahoma, weather can change like that. I'm sitting in this restaurant, I'm watching cars do this. Sliding on the ice. I'm watching that. So anyway, in Portland, there was this ice storm that developed. And after the meeting, we all went to, I think it was the Sherry's restaurant. And we're sitting in there. There's not many people in the restaurant. But there's enough that a lot of the wait staff couldn't make it in because of the storm and everything. So our waitress was overwhelmed. So what did my wife do? Instead of complaining, she got the coffee pot. And she went to our table and the next table and another table. Why? Why? Because Jesus taught us how to love one another. Not to be served, but to serve one another. Right? He said, I don't need to write you about brotherly love because you're taught, and in yourself you know that we're supposed to love one another. Jesus is coming. Practice loving one another a little better. Right? Get it on our minds. Let's do it. Hallelujah. Verse 10, for you, indeed you do toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase it more and more. In other words, this church had a reputation of taking care of people. It had taken care of Paul. But you've done enough. Or you've done some, but do better. I love this Orange County Choppers, the old guy's talking to his son, and he said, son, I know you've done the best that you can. He says, but do a little better. Right? Do a little better. In other words, you think your capacity to do this is at this level, but I see in you this level. So don't stay at this level, come up higher. Don't rest at good enough, come up to the best. And I'm talking about loving one. He's coming, so we need to put more love on. The devil would try to get us inward, and God wants us outward focused. Right? Because He's coming. He's coming. Years ago, again, when I first got saved, it was a charismatic renewal. There was weird things going on, but it was fun. Right? You remember, it was fun. One of the things we did during worship, we'd jump up and down because we were doing rapture practice. Right? You know? Rapture practice. And then I often thought, if I go in the rapture, I'm going to grab one sinner by this hand and one sinner by this hand, get up there, you know, a few thousand feet and says, "Now, are you ready?" Right? But really, if He's coming again, then your friends need to know Him. Hallelujah. Verse 11, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business. Starting to meddle now. And to work with your hands, own hands as we commanded you. That you walk properly toward those who are outside, that you may lack nothing. In other words, our behavior, our lifestyle is important. And how we're acting toward one another and how we're acting toward the world, it's important. Why? Because we're a reflection of Him. Come on. My dad used to say this when we were growing up. I've heard it more than once. He'd say, "Bruce, Dugans don't act like that." In other words, the behavior I was presenting at the time was not up to his standards. And instead of saying, "Oh, I know you're not perfect, son, but I just love you so much," he went, "Bruce, Dugans don't act like that." In other words, come up to the family name. Come up to the standards of the family name. Don't be relegated to what you feel or how you think. You can do better. Come up higher. What is God asking us this morning? He's asking us, if Jesus is coming, don't settle in or don't get into a mood of, "Boy, I just can't wait for you. I'm going to sit at home. I'm going to wait. God, come right now. Get me out of here." Right? No, He's saying, no, come up higher. Live in the sanctification that I've given to you. Live in the holiness that I brought to you. And begin to use that on other people. Because they need to know me. God's system, it just blows my mind, obviously. Right? But if I was setting this up, I wouldn't have set it up like He did. He sent Jesus, awesome. And then He gave us the choice of whether to accept Him or not. And then once we've accepted Jesus, He said, "Now I want to use you to introduce me to somebody else." Now, if I was God, which all of you can say, praise God, you're not. If I was God, the minute that you got saved, I'd have killed you. I'd have just killed you, brought you home, so I didn't have to mess with you for the rest of your life, right? That I didn't have to hear you say, "I'm sorry," for the 100th time, right? But God said, no. I want my love and what I can do out of mercy and grace to be so displayed in you that others will say, "What you got, I want." Right? Wow. But how's that done? It's by us remembering who we represent and living a life that would be pleasing to Him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now watch, this is so cool. Verse 12, it says, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, that you may lack nothing. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. That means who've died. Lest you as others who have no sorrow, as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. In other words, our perspective has to be so different. How many have lost loved ones? Everybody has, right? I mean, why? Because we all die. I mean, we all want to live forever and live as long as we can. And you know, some of us, we've lived longer than we should have by the lifestyle that we have. But we've lived a long time or whatever that is. But did you know, I don't care how old you are, your life has just been a vapor. I often think about it. I think about, you know, my grandparents and my great-great-grandparents, and I think, that wasn't that long ago. But they've been gone a long time. But their life, their influence on the earth was just a short period of time. But you and I were created to be here right now at this time. Amazing. So God has graced us to be here in such a way that we can have an influence on those who are around us. Right? Glory to God. But watch, all of those who pass away, right? Those have gone on before us. They're not gone. You know, a Christian vocabulary should be so different than the world's vocabulary. I've lost my husband. You didn't lose nothing. If he's saved, if he's a Christian, then he's up there waiting for you. And I got news for you. Your coming to him is just going to be a couple of seconds. I don't care if it's been 30 years since he passed away. It's just a couple of seconds with him. Because the day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. In other words, time is just here. Right? But we have to live our lives like that's true. That's true. And it's like we use terms, and I understand the grief of it. Well, you know, we're saying goodbye to our husband, our wife, our father, our mother. We're saying goodbye. We're laying them in the earth. And I understand the grief process. I'm not against that. I understand that. But the reality is, Christians, it's like, I'm just putting the mobile home in the ground because the real person is not there. Woo! They're on the other side of some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. See, they're on the other side of that. Right? So we don't grieve as those who have no hope. We don't sorrow like those who don't know. Because we're different. Glory to God. I wonder how they're doing. They're doing great. Right? They're doing great. For we say this to you again, verse 15. By the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise, and then we who are alive will remain and be caught up together in the clouds to meet him in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. He said, watch! Because I'm coming. But don't watch from the standpoint of who. We ought to have an expectation of celebration. Because when he comes, it's going to be glorious. Glory to God. Now watch this. As Christians, we want everything to be good, the end to come, and then everything to be better. But the way I read the Word of God, when the end starts to come, things are going to get worse around here, around the world, right? It's going to get worse. But on the inside, it should be going, ooh, glory to God, glory to God. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. And I don't have to be afraid of what's coming if I know who's coming with me. In other words, the grace of God that's on us, that sustained us, will continue to sustain us. But we have to have this mindset that He's coming again. Jesus is coming soon. And when He comes, whether I've died or whether I haven't died, I'm going to go with Him and be with Him forever and ever and ever and ever. Glory to God. Can you just imagine? Now, I've done this before. I don't know if you've ever done this. But those days where the clouds are just kind of puffy and all up there, and they're just, you know, the sun is breaking through. There's blue sky. And then you see where Jesus could be standing on one of those. I've often looked up there, today, Jesus, today, I'm looking for Him because He's coming. But I want to live my life in such that when He's coming, I don't have to say, wait a minute, I got something repenting to do. Right? No, I want to live my life like, Lord, You can come anytime. You can come anytime. You can come anytime, Lord, because I'm not perfect by any means, but Lord, I want to live my life that's pleasing to You. And how do I do that? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right? That's what I want to do. That's who I want to be. Glory to God. Therefore, verse 18, comfort one another with these words. Verse 1 of chapter 5, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, we have no need that we should write to you. For you yourselves know that perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, and sudden destruction comes upon them, and labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should not overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light, sons of the day, and we are not of the night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Is Jesus coming? Yeah. Is He coming soon? Sooner than yesterday. Sooner than 2,000 years ago. Right? And this word soon actually means quickly. Quickly. He'll be here. Quickly. It'll be a quick thing when it happens. And if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, you're ready. Because it's His blood that makes us ready, right? But our lifestyle is such that I want to portray more of Him so that others can come to Him and come with us. Amen? Now, here's the reality, and this is real, it's truth. I used to hear altar calls, and this was the way it was presented. There's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. Heaven really is living forever in the presence of God. And in the presence of God represents everything that's good, everything that's right, everything that's, you know, full of joy, full of peace. That's heaven. And it's a real place, but it's really living in the presence of God. Well, what is hell? The absence of the presence of God. The absence of the presence of anything good. And if I read my Bible right, and it's truly written, which it is, it says that there are many that are going that way. Not everybody that you've said, not everybody that you've said they're in a better place is. The defining line is not how good they were on the earth. The defining life is whether they met Jesus or not. If they have Jesus in their heart, it doesn't matter what life they lived up to that point or even after that point. The blood of Jesus is going to take care of them. But the reality is there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And the only thing that separates one that goes to heaven and hell is what they've done with Jesus. Have you accepted what He said in His Word? Have you, asked Him to be your Lord and Savior? Have you come to the recollection that you need a Savior, that you're not good enough on your own? Glory to God. Every morning, Lord, thank You for the breath that I breathe. This is the day, Lord, that You've made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. But the day of the Lord is coming. I said the day of the Lord is coming. He's coming soon. We need to start acting like it. We need to start living like it. We need to start giving like it. We need to start loving like it. Right? We need to start praying like it. Praying for those who we know need Jesus. We need to start praying and interceding, forgiving, all of the things like He is really coming. Amen? Glory to God. I know this hasn't been the rah-rah necessarily meeting, but I think God is trying to get our hearts ready because He's about to do some fabulous work on the earth. I believe it says that there's coming, but before He comes, there's going to be a huge revival where many people will come to know the Lord, but He's going to get His army ready for that. Come on, and that's you and that's me. Glory to God. Glory to God. We all want to be in our place and just doing what He wants us to do. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, You're coming soon and we're excited about it. I can't wait to hear the trumpet blast. The ram's horn where all of heaven and angels sound in unison, where the horn blasts and You're seen throughout the world coming again for your bride. But right now, Lord, at this time, I'm living on earth in a body, and I want to be used by You. So, Lord, if there's anywhere in me that's compromised who You are and what You've said in Your Word, I just ask You to forgive me. I renounce the things of the world. I renounce the things of the past that were purchased in the lust of the flesh. I just renounce all that, Father, and I just want to live for You. Lord, I want to live in holiness, not because I need to be holy to get to You. You've already paid the price so that I could be called holy, but I want to live up to the standard of my new family name. But I need Your help. I thank You this morning that You're here to help everybody that's listening. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you've never accepted Him as your personal Savior, first of all, whether you know it or not, you need Him to be. He's the one who paid the price so that anything that you've done that's been outside of the holiness of God could be covered and done away with. In other words, He will forgive you of all of your sins if you come to Him and say, Jesus, I need You. Jesus, I need You. Forgive me of my sins. I recognize that You are the Messiah and I ask You to become the master of my life. I yield my life to You right now and I ask You just to receive me unto Yourself. I believe in my heart, so I'm saying with my mouth that Jesus, You are my Lord, and that just as You've been raised from the dead, so now I've been raised to be in Your presence. If you prayed that, then something absolutely miraculous just happened in you. you became new in Christ. He'll lead you and guide you, but you need to follow after Him. And it's not you need to, you get to. Hallelujah. We thank You, Lord, for Your presence. We thank You for operating in us. We thank You, God, for the blood that set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.